Now, Zechariah can't believe it. He doesn't think it's true. He, a priest, shouldn't remember Abraham and Sarah, who are even older than he and Elizabeth, and know that God can do a miracle. And yet, here he is, surprised and doubting. He's doubting. He's righteous, he's blameless, and yet he doesn't believe the words of the messenger of the holy God who is speaking to him in the holy place. He says, how can this be? He doesn't believe it. Thembati Anawamba has observed how sneaky unbelief can be. He says, here we have a holy man, a priest, in the midst of holy worship before the holy God, and he still can't believe the truth of the words the angel speaks. He's focused on his disappointments, the problem of his age, and he can't see the power of God. Thembati again gives the illustration. He says, you know how small a quarter is. He says, and yet a small quarter can block out the bigness of the sun if you hold it right up to your eye, right? And so he said, sometimes our problem, we put it right against our eye, and that's all we can see. And we can't see the majesty and the power of God that is trying to shine forth. God is righteous. God is powerful. God is trustworthy. But Zechariah can't see that right now. Friends, I can't promise you that your heart's cry will be answered anytime soon, but I can tell you, and I look out and I know that you have deep cries that have sometimes been unanswered prayers. I can assure you that God has heard those prayers. God has heard them, and God does everything right. And God's time is not our time, but God will set everything right. He knows those good desires, and he has promised to fulfill those good desires. So be expecting it to happen. It may happen soon. It may happen in glory for when time will be no more and that good desire will be eternally fulfilled. But friends, God has heard your prayers, and he will do what seems impossible. I also want to pause here and to say that this passage is one of the many passages that does affirm senior citizens. It does not say, hey, your useful time is over. Instead, it says God delights to use you. God delights you to use you despite your age. Never let that be a barrier or a problem, because God is powerful and wants to use you, and no matter what your age says. So believe that. And I also want to affirm you that this church needs you. I think you know that, but let me just speak that truth out. This church needs your wisdom. It needs your passing on the faith to the next generation. It needs all that you have to give. We need you as a church. And furthermore, I will say that you are in a unique position to spread the gospel. Right now, you know the generation of the baby boomers. Many of you are baby boomers. And many baby boomers right now are at a little crisis of their lives. Perhaps they have rejected God of their youth and lived their life recklessly or just centered on themselves. That's what the culture told them to do. And now they're getting an age, they're watching their friends die. They're seeing their limitations. And they're searching for some hope, for something that will be stable under their feet. And those who are baby boomers, you're their peers. You can speak the word of truth that they will listen to. You who are older than them, you have some wisdom that you can pass on. And I will say the fields are ripe unto harvest, and God has a plan for you. All right, that was a little diversion, and yet I want you to feel affirmed and seen today with your heartaches, and know that you are valued. Preparing the way of the Lord means preparing our hearts. And so I want to look now at verses 14 through 17 with how John prepared the people. Before John is born, he is set apart for a special mission. He is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Lord himself will come and visit the people, but his people are not ready for him. They are not expecting him. They are not living blameless lives. They have grown up looking like the nations around them. But now a prophet is coming, and he's going to turn the people back to the Lord. It's going to be a revival. It's going to be people who have, have left the ways of the Lord, left trusting the Lord, and now he's going to call. And the people who have wandered away are going to return. So John is going to prepare the hearts of the people for the Lord by calling them back, and many will respond. The people, the masses, will submit once again to God. Today, we have a similar prayer. We too long for revival in our country. We too have seen how we have slipped, sometimes slowly, sometimes by great degrees, away from God's commands, away from God's having God at the center of our culture. And we want a revival. We want the Spirit of God to once again turn people's hearts to the Lord. So how did John do that? Well, he came as a forerunner to the Lord, and he came in the spirit of Elijah, it says. He came as a messenger telling everybody that the king is coming. And you may remember the stories of Elijah. Elijah was a fearless prophet. He spoke the truth of God to King Ahab and Jezebel, some of the most wicked people who ever ruled. And he even had a showdown where he was the one prophet left for Yahweh on Mount Carmel, and there are 450 false prophets saying that Baal was God or Asherah was God. And he said, well, let's give this a test. He said, whichever God can answer with fire is the true God. Serve and worship him. And so he gave the prophets of Baal the first chance to do that, and they spent the whole day trying to get their God to send fire upon the altar. Couldn't do it. And then at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah, in his boldness, not only reconstructs his altar, puts a sacrifice on top, but then dumps water on top of it and just prays. And God answers with fire. He was a prophet known for his boldness. And Elijah is now coming in that same spirit. John the Baptist will speak truth to power. He will tell even the king that his marriage is not lawful, and it will cost him his head on a platter. So John is coming, and he's coming with a fiery message. He's telling the religious leaders, he's telling the soldiers, he's telling everybody, repent. The kingdom of God is near. Change your ways. He's telling them that if you have two tunics, you need to give one away. If you have extra food, give it the extra away. He's saying there must be action associated with your heart of repentance. And what's he doing? He's doing what was prophesied in Malachi and what the angel said, that he's turning the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Notice that word hearts there again. The heart is where he is dealing with. And it's relationships, it's parents and children. And it could be that these parents have cut off their children and they're having no compassion on them anymore. It could also mean that the children have been foolish and rebellious and they have called this a rift. But nonetheless, the relationship has a schism in it. And they are not talking, they're not caring about each other. And what John's message is doing is bringing people back to repentance, bringing the people back to confessing their sins and having laying all things out before the Lord that's transforming into action, actions of love, actions of reconciliation. Well, here again, I think that many of our families have schisms in them. Maybe it's very close and personal falling out that you've had. Maybe it's not quite so personal, but yet our families have them. And John's message is prepare your hearts, and some of that preparing our hearts is repentance of what's wrong in our lives. Because I'll tell marriage counseling that it takes two to have a problem. And we all have something we can confess. And as we do that to the Lord and then to each other, bridges can start to be built. Now, once again, I need to say that all schisms and broken relationships will not be fixed in our timing, in our way. But I know that that's God's heart. And we are to pray, and as far as it is possible as us, is that we can be people of peace, that we can be people with a message that we have been forgiven, and we're going to extend that forgiveness to people who have hurt us. Now take that with a brain that can filter safety and other considerations, because I don't want to put anybody in jeopardy, and yet let us be as best we can those who are repentant and who are seeking the reconciliation. Part of that means that we're turning away from the selfish motives. The selfish motives are often what built those walls or caused those falling outs, is that we didn't get what we wanted. And so on a very kind of surface level, we have let some of those relationships slide because we were so focused on our little kingdoms. And yet John has come and he's saying, God's coming. God's coming and he's bringing his kingdom. Prepare for something much bigger than your small little kingdom that looks so big. Prepare your hearts. Stop doing evil and do what is good. And he'll call the religious leaders a brood of vipers. He's going to say that the soldiers need to be fair in all that they do. You know, he's going to tell anybody who will listen what God's message is. Indeed, some people wonder if John, with his fiery message, was going to be that coming Messiah they were waiting for. But John is very clear, no, I am the forerunner. I'm the one going to prepare his way. The one who comes behind me, he is much greater. And his kingdom must increase while John's kingdom decreases. So preparing the way of the Lord means preparing our hearts. Now I want to focus a little bit on our own preparation. Friends, life is busy. Holidays have lots of extra additional things that we need to do. But we need to ask about our hearts. How is the motivational core of our being? Are we prepared for Christ? Will we miss the joy of the meaning of Jesus' birth and and God's plan of salvation? We need to have prepared hearts. The core for our passions that will be forever changed once we behold our God who came to us, a God who was born to set us free, one who was humbled in a manger so that we could become inheritors of the imperishable riches of the King of Kings and to live in his heavenly home forever. When our prepared hearts receive the good news, we want to be like John. We want to be like those who proclaim fearlessly to others the message of God's coming, both his first coming, that God has come, and also his second coming, that he will come again as to judge the living and the dead. We can do that, friends, because we too are filled with the Holy Spirit. John's power came from being filled with the Holy Spirit from before he was born. And friends, when we have come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is with us as well. And we too can be used like John to proclaim the message to others. Prepare your hearts. Christ is going to return. And what does that message mean? Well, it means that we need to admit that we're sinners, that we have turned our backs to God and gone after sins as a whole people. Everybody has done that. And then individually, we do that as well. We have refused to trust in the Lord. So we must turn from our unbelief, turn from our sin, turn from our former ways of living, and turn towards Jesus and claiming him to be our Lord. And that's a nice church word, but Lord means our master. It means that he's our king. It means our allegiance is to him, that his command is our bidding. That is what we go and do. And our hope of salvation is only in him, that it was his death and resurrection that have made the way to open up the kingdom of eternal life to us, that all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Friends, someone has presented that good news to you, and now you can present it with the same power to someone else, trusting God's Spirit to take it and plant it in their hearts and their response by faith. Perhaps someone is rehearing it for the first time today, and I want to encourage you, believe it. Believe it to be true. Believe it with all your heart and share it. For God just uses ordinary people who are filled with his powerful Spirit that people may be redeemed and turned from their sin. God's new work has begun. We are now being restored and prepared for eternal glory with our Lord, the God of heaven and earth. Well, I pray that the message of God proclaimed through John, prepare hearts for Christ's arrival will continue to rattle us, to bring us to repentance and confession, and that we as a church might be used by God to then proclaim that news far and wide, so that our neighbors, our families, our workplaces, the ends of the earth may believe and be prepared in their hearts for the Lord's return. Preparing the way of the Lord means preparing our hearts and calling others to be prepared in their hearts.